This is an interview with Governor Victor Attia at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is February 4th, 1993, and this is tape 21, side one. I had just asked you about Speaker of the House Phil Lang and his being stripped of his power by the six-man coalition from the Rules Committee. How did this come to be? What's the story behind this?
These were conservative Democrats. I'm trying to remember exactly. I know what they did. I'm trying to remember
who it was.
Well, I know some of them. Mm-hmm. I remember some of them. Jeff Gilmore was one. Incidentally, there was a fellow from Silverton. Anyway, what they did was not allow the speaker couldn't be the only one that would assign bills to committee. The speaker picks the chairman, selects the committee members on it, and has the exclusive right as to where bills go. And they took that away from him. By that time, the committees had been assigned, but they took that authority away from him. I'm trying to recall what they called them. They called them, they had them a name.
It wasn't the six-pack, was it?
No. I can't recall it now. That was over in the House, you know, us elder statesmen watched this with amusement. Obviously, it was traumatic.
But of course, I would imagine that turmoil like this in the House would affect the productivity and of bills reaching the Senate.
It was very disruptive. And my own personal view was it was a terrible mistake. I may disagree with where the presiding officer sends bills, but that's the system and that's the way it ought to operate. I didn't think disrupting that or sending bills by committee was a good idea. But that was not I wasn't a party to whatever was going on over there. They were doing it on their own. But there were six of them. How they achieved that, I just don't recall now. But I know it was very disruptive.
What was so contentious about Phil Lang as speaker to prompt this?
I think it began with committee assignments and those who didn't get the kind of committee assignments they thought they ought to have. Mm-hmm. That probably was the very beginning of it. And that somehow we're going to get you for doing it. And these were conservative Democrats. They were quite conservative. And they just decided they were going after Phil and they managed it.
Mm-hmm. Was he able to survive intact?
Well, he stayed there and he was speaker, yeah. Ran the show.
Yeah.
But it was not a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Governor Straub's top priority bill was to create a state power authority, and that was approved. Do you recall the issues surrounding that?
Yeah, I'm trying to... That one, I do have some recollection, although it's not very sharp in my mind, and I recall working with it. I can recall not being opposed to it. I really would like to maybe see that. That was an important bill to him. Maybe if we get some note, he can copy that page out of the journal.
Okay.
We'll get back to that.
I've got that at home. I'll bring that in for our next session. Lawmakers also voted to increase benefits for workers with permanent partial disabilities, but refused to increase unemployment benefits. I presume that this wasn't on one of your committees.
I wasn't on labor, no.
Must have been labor. And grants to the low-income elderly for utility rate relief and home insulation programs passed, but a measure to allow makers of false teeth to sell directly to the public guide.
Oh, that was a very denturists, they call them.
Ah.
These are people that actually did lab work for dentists and made false teeth. And so they wanted the right just to cut out the dentist and just make false teeth for people. It was going to cost them less. The concern was, you know, do you really have the capability of doing it? I'm doing some guessing, but you know, you pull teeth and there's swelling and you have to wait till the swelling goes down and you have to get the right mold and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then there's always adjustments to them, I understand, and whether or not they had the proper professional skills to do that sort of thing. I don't think I supported that bill, but I think, well, it did pass.
Another bill approved would raise the maximum income limit in order to qualify for homeowner renter property tax refunds from $15,000 a year to $16,000 a year.
That was just a matter of inflation.
Mm-hmm. Also, lawmaker.
Remember we talked about a circuit breaker?
Yes, right.
This was a typical circuit breaker thing.
Uh-huh. I see.
Meaning that over that amount you couldn't get the relief.
Mm-hmm. Lawmakers also passed a measure to allow terminally ill persons to order that extraordinary life-saving measures be withheld. Mm-hmm. That was sort of the beginning of this controversy, wasn't it?
It's the euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
I voted against that one.
Mm-hmm. And your reasoning for that?
I was concerned. I did realize that euthanasia was going on. All this really does, and what all this is designed to do really, is to legally protect the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If this is done and the relatives say yes, and then they can't come back and say you killed my mother or my father, you can't be sued. And I was aware that this was going on, sort of on an ad hoc basis, and obviously agreed upon by the family. My concern was that if you now legalize it, that there might be more of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because now there's a legal protection for the doctor, and it would be easier to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my motivation.
Mm-hmm. Another controversy issue was, at the time, you don't hear much about it now, was DMSO and Laetrile, and there were bills that were approved to legalize the sale of those items.
Yeah, the FDA was not allowing DMSO.
Right.
And it was being very helpful, very useful to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, fool you with that. Obviously, DMSO was something produced out here. But it was also very useful to people. They got a great deal of relief by using DMSO.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, we're going to take it out of their hands. The government, federal government.
The federal government can't stop you from doing that?
Well, I don't know if they could or couldn't, but we had to send a message of some kind.
I noticed that it was sold in the state. You could buy it.
Actually, the way you got it was from veterinarians, because
mm-hmm.
they could use it on animals. So if you wanted to get DMSO, you went to the veterinarian.
Uh-huh.
And many people did.
A bill to require major grocery stores to post unit prices of merchandise was approved and signed by Governor Straub. Was there much controversy over that?
Oh, there was some. It was going to raise the cost to the grocery stores for
uh-huh.
posting all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. One of those consumer protection bills.
Wasn't there a circuit breaker for that in terms of the store size at over 50,000 square feet or something?
No, they didn't do anything like that.
They didn't do anything like that. It was for everyone then.
That's right.
Lawmakers approved increases in beer and wine taxes to finance alcoholism treatment centers, but refused to lower the drinking age from 21 to 19. Was that a package deal?
I don't recall. I recall them as items, but I don't recall.
And a bill was approved to revise the state's controversial land use law that would remove the power of the Land Conservation and Development Commission to take over local planning if cities and counties don't meet the standard. Now, we had talked a little bit about that before, didn't we? So this was to rectify what was a problem.
The journal, when we passed Senate Bill 100, and I think I mentioned that to you, actually it is in the journal prior to the vote, and we voted to make that a part of the record, that the LCDC could not or would not do local planning. That was going to be left to the cities and counties. I'm kind of paraphrasing, I'm not sure, but we as committee members insisted that that be a part of the record. Then, of course, this follows the same theory, that we were not going to have the state doing local planning under any circumstance.
And this is another thing we talked about some time before, and here it comes again. Another bill was approved that would allow churches and other nonprofit charitable organizations to legally hold bingo games. Of course, you were adamantly opposed to that, weren't you?
Yeah. That one, I don't have to remember. I know I voted against every one of those things.
Well, here's an interesting one. Lawmakers voted themselves a 35% pay raise.
Yeah, that didn't get anywhere, did it?
Well, I don't know whether the governor signed it or not. They didn't have it down in the news article on this issue. But do you recall?
I think what they finally did was to... relate their pay to the increases of state employees, and so if a state employee got 5% raise, then it wasn't a matter of saying now the legislature will get. They just went and tagged along with the state employees. However, they left out a whole lot of people, including the governor, because they vote specifically on the governor's salary, the Secretary of State, the State Treasurer, and then there's a long list of those that are being specifically designated by statute. But in terms of their pay, they don't vote on it anymore. It just, if they vote on increase for state employees, they get the same thing. I always objected actually to raise salaries. However, I would always, regardless of what they were dealing with, is say don't make it four. Incumbent isn't quite right because the senator is for 4 years, but it would be 2 years from now. In other words, you won't be necessarily voting yourself a salary raise. You might get reelected, and obviously that case you are, but you don't know that you will be. But I think part of the downfall of the legislature, the ability of the legislature to deal with serious issues, is because we pay too much.
So you feel that legislators right now are paid too much?
Yeah, too much. In the sense that there are a lot of them that is their full-time job and probably the only job they could really get. It's not a bad job. I don't know where it is now, but I bet you it's awful close to $20,000 a year when you add per diem and
I think you're right.
Salary and all the rest.
May even be a little bit
That's
more.
That's probably the best job a lot of them will ever have. So you get away from a volunteer citizen legislature, and people running for office are running for their job, not necessarily that they want to do something and contribute to the state.
But of course, a lot of these people are professionals, and they would be making more as lawyers or doctors or whatever back
Well, but you look at the long list of people that are there and look at what they show as their profession. And there's a lot of them, but that's their profession. When I was first there at $600 a year, people were making a contribution to the state. Today, it's a good job.
What your own financial situation was such that were you suffering as a result of
The answer is yes. Not suffering is not quite the right word, but because of all the years I was involved in the legislature and as governor, my brothers were working. They were paying attention to business, and I know, although I don't know what their income is, I do know that they're a lot better off than I am financially. That's where I get real upset when people say self-interest, you know. I say, if I really had self-interest, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So suffering was not the right word. I wasn't able to do as well as I could have done. If I had never gotten into politics, I would have financially been better off than I even am today. To put it in sort of bottom line, my brothers are retired and I'm working. And there's only 16 months difference between us.
Well, also proved as a measure to impose mandatory minimum prison terms without chance of parole for murder of law enforcement officials, multiple murders, second murder convictions, and murders connected with other felonies such as rape or kidnapping. I thought that the legislature had already passed minimum mandatory prison terms for murder of law enforcement officials. I know we talked about that at some time.
Yeah, I can't
maybe
remember.
It didn't pass.
I can't remember sequence.
Uh-huh.
They must have either they passed a bill for capital punishment for aggravated murder, or it was referred.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the election of 78 that it actually passed,
mm-hmm.
and declared unconstitutional, passed again. It must have been referred by the people, and then repassed again after declared unconstitutional 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there specific incidences which
triggered that?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
There was another measure to bar lobbyists from giving money to legislators for ballot measure campaign expenses while a legislature was in session.
Yeah, that's a current thing, and that's not bad. Either that or a campaign, whether ballot measure or campaign. The whole concept is that lobbyists are now intimidated. They've got bills of their interest before the legislature, mm-hmm. and so the legislator says, I'm going to have a fundraising, so they really feel obliged to buy a ticket. It put the lobbyists really in a very untenable position. And so this makes good sense because they have legislation, that's why they're there, that's what they're a lobbyist. It's before the legislature. The best thing to do is just not allow them to raise money.
Mm-hmm. Another burning issue of the day was regarding sunset laws. And there was legislation which created a sunset law for state agencies. What was your impression of that?
I said then, and it's indeed true, sounds great, and it won't work. It's one of those political things. It just sounds great.
But wasn't the issue behind that people were concerned about these agencies that were created that would just last indefinitely beyond their usefulness?
Yeah.
So how do the arguments stand up then regarding this?
Well, the argument was what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. We gotta look at these folks. They can't hide the shadows anymore. And so they were all set up on a cycle of which agency is going to be reviewed by the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
They were all on a cycle. All agencies, boards and commissions, all of them. The reason I say it isn't going to work is that if I think we did get rid of watchmakers board, but let me use them as an example. If okay, now the watchmaker said before over you. Now who's going to go down and appear? The only ones that are going to go down and appear are the watchmakers. You're not going to go down and say, no, we ought not to have it. In other words, the citizen is going to go down. It's only the agency or commission that's involved is going to go down there to say, you ought not to do that.
But then going back to the argument you used on the on the tax issues was that legislators are there to make hard decisions
And what was your rebuttal? Your rebuttal was they don't.
You can't use my argument against you.
No. I said it wouldn't work.
Yeah, and you're
right. And it doesn't work.
No.
Actually, if you go from that point to where we are today, we don't have fewer, we have more.
Yeah.
So it's not working, but it sounds great. Just like Governor Roberts in her state address in January of last year. Mm-hmm. And I presume we'll have a point in time to talk about that. And she's talking about, she used the word cleaning out the attic. She's going to go through these boards and commissions. And sounds great. We're going to, you know, all these boards and commissions, we're going to clean out the attic. That's the term she used. They are not consequential, certainly in terms of what she was trying to deal with. It was peanuts in the terms of then a $1 billion problem, now $1.3 billion. So these things, my point basically to 1977 and related today, it all sounds great, and politically it's a neat idea. And if it worked, it would be marvelous.
But wouldn't you have people from, say, like the Legislative Fiscal Committee or an executive department budget people come over and say, listen, we don't need this council or committee or commission or agency anymore?
No.
You wouldn't have that?
No. No, and the only ones you're going to see are the ones that are involved. There's a barber, a hairdresser and barbers and... Mm-hmm. They're going to come down and say you ought to continue it. Mm-hmm. The citizen isn't going to go down there and say we don't need it anymore. That's the point I'm trying to make. So you have a one-sided hearing.
Well, why would these people want the board in the first place? Why would they want to be overseen by the legislature?
Everyone's got a good reason for it. They've got a good reason. That's how it was established. At least a good reason is perceived by them and then by the legislature.
In other words, to exclude other people than themselves from that particular activity.
Yeah. I remember going way back, there was a proposal under Hatfield in my early days to create a hearing aid board. Well, I didn't think we needed all these things, including the hearing aid board, and I voted no. My brother-in-law was in that business. So after it all passed, and I wrote to the Governor Hatfield and say, I didn't support it and I didn't vote for it, but if you're going to have one, my brother-in-law is a good guy to have on it. But you know, the basic point is this. It's designed primarily as a protection for the public. Mm-hmm. Watchmakers, hearing aid, you go through the whole list of things. And if indeed the public was protected, then I can understand that. But I walk in and I see a deal on the wall and it says that they have a license from the state of Oregon. Oh, well, I guess that's fine. As if somebody is really monitoring me or them.
Right.
If somebody is really policing it, if somebody, if people would chastise, fine, or remove the license, then I'm perfectly happy.
There's false security.
But it doesn't happen that way. I had quite an argument with some people early on in my governor's term, but it relates, timing is not important here. They wanted to license daycare centers. Mm-hmm. And I remember the ladies being in my office. And talking about the kinds of things that can happen. Now, it wasn't licensing because we did license them. There was some change they wanted in it. And talking about the kids, dropping the kids off, and all they do is sit in front of the television station. Or the sanitation wasn't good or whatever, and we were licensing at the time. And I'm trying to remember what the changes they wanted in that. And I said to these ladies, oh, was that while we were licensing these agencies? Yeah. Well, then what do you want? They've got a license. We are not policing them. They're not being policed. They're not being cleaned up. They're not being supervised. So all that certificate gives you a false sense of security. I've said we ought not to have traffic lights. We'll have fewer accidents. And people say, oh, God, we're going to have a lot of accidents. No. You know, if you drive through a neighborhood where there are no stop signs, you're pretty darn cautious, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know somebody might be coming the other way because there's no stop sign either place.
Right.
But if there's a stop sign, you're going straight ahead, and there's a stop sign on the street coming from your right, you feel that somebody's going to stop. But, and so you just keep driving like you don't even pay attention. You don't even look to see if the car's coming. Whew, you get somebody drives through, goes through a stop sign. Now, that may be a little far-fetched. I'm sure there'd be accidents. But the basic point is that the best protection, now remember I'm a retailer, the best protection is what is it, buyer beware. That's the best protection. But here again, we're taking personal responsibility away and say, don't worry, we're going to protect you. And I wouldn't mind if they were being protected. The point is that they're not being protected.
But then don't they argue that, well, then they should have policing to...
Yes, but then they don't have... The agency that's being licensed won't put up the money, because these are all, most of them are self-financed. To be licensed, it costs you $100 a year or whatever it is. So they're being self-financed. But you'd have to charge them $3,000 a year in order to get enough policemen out there to actually police the industry or profession. It just doesn't work. So what we're doing is we're really lying to the consumer. They've got a license, they think they're protected, but they're really not protected. They got a license, so they just continue on like they used to continue on.
Is there an alternative then?
Well,
just not having.
We're back to
buyer beware.
My ideal world. Nobody gets licensed. You just go in and take your chances. Mm-hmm. Be more alert. Do a little more study. Mm-hmm. Instead of just, you know, boldly walking in and say, "Oh, I'm protected. I don't have to worry about this."
Right. Going back to that euthanasia, a related issue that came up was a right to die bill, which was passed by both houses.
Yeah.
Did that fall in the same category for you as the patients wanting not to have extreme measures to keep their lives?
Yeah, same
going?
Idea.
Uh-huh.
Right to die, euthanasia, that sort of thing.
So you were opposed to that as well then?
Well, it wouldn't be what I'd say fervently. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was that I was worried that once you clear the decks for that, more of it's going to happen. And sometimes, maybe, unnecessarily.
Well, here's a burning issue of the day. A bill was passed to allow Kelpie the coyote to return to his Spray, Oregon family. This actually made it to the legislature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Comes along with the state rock and the state butterfly and things like that.
Was that really a big issue?
Well, it got a lot of attention, but it was something to do with, I think the Fish and Wildlife picked up the coyote and there was a pet or something, and that's one of those things that hits the news for a day.
Well, if that wasn't a big issue, then this must have been. A bill failed to protect the legendary Sasquatch from hunters.
Oh, yeah.
How do these things ever make it into bills. How do they ever make it to committee?
Let's see now.